Thank you very much. Let's see, do we need to turn that on since Jim's not here? Oh, it's on, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Wes. Let's get ready for a morning of worship together on the light side of life as people are coming in. You might be a pastor if... I guess this came from something like that. The blue-collar comic who always says, you are a redneck if. So this is, you might be a pastor if you've waded in a creek wearing a necktie. That's to baptize. You've ever dreamed you were preaching only to awaken and discover that you really were. Next one. This one's good. You would rather negotiate with terrorists than with a board of deacons. The next one, you've ever wanted to fire the church and form a congregation search committee. Usually they find a pastor committee, but here find a congregation committee. I don't think that would ever work, boy. You'd never be able to find what you wanted. Then the next one, you've ever wanted to lay hands on a deacon and you don't mean to be praying with him. Next, the final, last one, you might be a pastor if you feel that it is your job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So, those are ideas of being a pastor. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, to orient ourselves to our study and to just adjust to whole frame of thinking, to walking by faith in the Spirit, that He can open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to assemble ourselves this morning with other believers who are like-minded. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You and glorifying to Your Son, that we orient ourselves, Heavenly Father, to why we come to this assembly, to study, to fellowship, to fulfill our destiny in Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Brian just walked in, so I... God is all about. That's yours for helping take care of all the junk. Okay, we got a lot of things I want to cover this morning. Are we on, Jerry? Okay, a lot of things I want to cover this morning, but let's first of all talk about our prayers. And we want to be in prayer as far as our own assembly is concerned. We're glad to have Bill Hess here with us. Bill, good to have you here, my friend. All right, we continue to be in prayer for your strength and so happy to see you. I missed the red suspenders, though. You changed the color to blue today. Great to have you, Bill. And I love Bill. He came up and he said, Herman, I can't remember some of the prayers I prayed while I was in the hospital. And I said, Bill, I forgot mine too, but God hasn't forgotten our prayers. So that's all that matters. Long as God remembers them, that's what counts. And sometimes we want him to forget some we prayed. But good to have. Need to continue to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight the cancer in her body. And while I'm gone, Philip McMillan will be teaching the next two Sundays. And we're glad that you're in full health and ready to go. And so, Pat, you just keep him healthy for next two Sundays, the minimum. And see, y'all come and listen to Philip, and that'll be good. We need to continue to be in prayer. It's good to have Nathan here this morning, and looks like right now they're going to try different things on his arm where they will not have to break it. I told you they're going to have to break his bone and reset and do a lot of work, but they think there's some other things that they can do, so we'll be in prayer that those other procedures work, Nathan. And so that'll be good. We need to be in prayer for Amber. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
Remember, we had Vic's granddaughter, Alicia, on.
Yes.
Because expecting a baby. Thanksgiving, she had the baby. It's 8 pounds, 12 ounces.
8 pounds, 12 ounces, all right. A boy or girl?
Boy.
Boy, good. Be a good tackle. All right, that's good. All right, good. Any other prayer requests? Got a couple. One of our listeners through the internet called, and a 24-year-old girl committed suicide a couple of days ago, leaving her family in disarray. Her father had just died recently, and so be in prayer for the Beasley family. And because they do need our prayers. And a couple of weeks ago, we prayed for a 2-year-old Daniel Friel, and he had pneumonia, but he came out of it and is doing really well. So that's a good answer to prayer. Any other prayer requests? The word of God declares whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, the gracious giver is first of all a believer, but also a believer, not just a believer, but a believer that knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit guides in regard to the giving. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to assemble ourselves, and now we come to the worship of the offering. It is our custom to always remember the two spheres of freedom that are involved, the political, economic freedom that we enjoy in America, the freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit, the freedom to marry whom we wish, live, worship, go to church. And we have so many wonderful freedoms we have in this country, and we are most appreciative for the men and women who have, since the beginning of this nation's history, to this very hour, who are in harm's way. We pray for these people. We give thanks for those who serve in that realm. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom. We have eyes to see of where to go to church and why we go to that church. The freedom to marry whom we know that you have led us to. The freedom to do with our lives. The freedom to do with our finances. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will receive these offerings and that you will continue to use them. Continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you'll open your hymnals to 290, this is, in my mind, getting ready for the trip that I'm going on, and for all of us, but also for you, to your husbands, to your wives, to your friends, to each other. So let's stand and sing the three verses of Make Me a Blessing.
Carry the sun.
Okay, we have a lot that we want to cover. This morning, we'll have communion. And I'm sorry I won't be here to eat with you, but got to, the plane leaves at 1. I got to try to be at the airport around noon and somewhere in that time frame. Traveling's no fun. I used to like to get there and they'd shut the door right on me as I would get on the plane, but those days are gone now. So young people will never know those wonderful days of flying. Just a quick idea of what we're going to be doing, what you're going to be doing in regard to the spreading of the gospel. Jim, if you'll turn off those, it'll at least they can follow it a little better. Today, Dan and I will meet in Chicago, and this evening after Chicago, at about 6 o'clock Chicago time, we'll leave for London, and then we'll be in London all day. That's why I'm in jeans. I used to travel with coat and tie, and then I went to just slacks and shirt, and now Dan's got me wearing jeans on a plane. But we're going to be tonight, all day tomorrow, and then all night tomorrow night, and he said, Herman, trust me, you'll want jeans. So then we'll go to London. We'll be in London tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, London time, 7 hours beyond our time here, we'll leave London Monday night, and we'll fly down to Abuja, Nigeria, which is right there. Got it circled for you. And we'll be in Abuja, and we will then take a six-hour... Oh, by the way, we will teach Tuesday night in Abuja, and then the next day we will take a six-hour van trip to teach the pastors in Abudu, which is, I got it marked right in this area, and we'll be there. Well, excuse me, we'll go, that's Calabar, and then we take the trip up to Abudu, and we will teach the pastors in Abudu Thursday. We'll teach them Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, and then also teach the people in the church. And then the Saturday the 11th, we will teach that morning to the congregations, and then we'll take a van trip to Calabar, and go from Calabar. We will do some teaching there again in Calabar, fly to Lagos, Nigeria, which is right there on the coast. That's Lagos. Fly to Lagos, and then we will, the next night, the next day, we'll take an all-night flight from here to Ethiopia, the capital of Ethiopia, and then from there, we will take a flight and come down to Lusaka, Zambia, which is right here, Lusaka, Zambia, and then this is where we will hook up with Stuart and do some teaching there. We will teach the pastors Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, teach Sunday morning at the churches, and then leave for Lusaka, and then take a flight. Oh, and he says Monday the 20th, we will leave Chimbimbi, that's Stuart's village, for Lusaka. We'll stay at a guest house, and Dan, when he sent me this, said hot showers. So we'll take a hot showers. I wanted to call him back and say, what are we taking all these other days in there? But they're going to be really cold showers. And then we will get up and leave Lusaka for the flight up to London, and then back to Chicago, and then back home. Now, when we're with Stuart, you can turn the lights on now. When we're with Stuart sent Matthias sent Dan this, and this is where when we are in right here in Nigeria. Matthias is the local pastor there, and he said, Dear Dan and Pat, I am writing this to please ask that you send me your itinerary again so that I can know how to conclude plans for your work here. I shall be having more than 50 pastors for you to train. We shall arrange a mini combine service for you to meet some of our members, and we plan on taking you to some churches in the evenings for you to preach and teach. You shall also have some people for baptism. All these amongst other programs, other things we're doing. So those are the things we'll be doing when we are in Nigeria. And Dan called and asked me if I'd ever baptize anybody. I said, hey, Dan, I can drown people just as well as anybody else. So that's going to be quite an opportunity. And what I'm going to be doing, and when I get back, if everything goes as I hope it will, with various modifications, I want to put together what we'll call a basic series, just some classes that we could have on one disc of what we believe in so many different areas. People ask that a lot of times. What do we believe of this? Believe about that? And that's basically what I'm going to be doing with the pastors and take them from Isaiah 28. We've noted that a couple of times. And then we will go to the questions of Job, which are the questions of the whole Bible. And then we will study the flow of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Gospels, the epistles to the church, and then the Revelation, the glory of Christ. And then we will go through Schaefer's chart on how salvation is patterned for our spirituality. We'll go through our little pamphlet that we have. And then what is faith? And then the last 2 hours, all of this about faith, but that's not our objective. Our objective is to love as Christ loved. And so ended up with loving one another and spiritual love through the power of the Spirit, why we want to be in the Spirit, why it's by faith that we can love as Christ loved. A lot is going on. We're having a good time in our study in Revelation 13 on Tuesday night, but I don't know how much you keep up with what's going on, but this last week, Israel put about 10,000 soldiers in the Gaza Strip area, and then just Friday, Syria. What they did, they sent Syria has deployed some 140,000 troops along the border of the Golan Heights. They have recalled all Syrians out of Lebanon, removed all historical documents and valuable artifacts from Damascus, aimed hundreds of missiles at Tel Aviv, threatening war by summer's end against Israel. And Hal Lindsey, who tries to keep up on all this kind of stuff, he said 2 weeks ago that there would probably be an all-out war in the area of the Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, somewhere around Israel, by the end of the summer. So in your prayers about our trip, I want you to please be in prayer for Dan and my health, be in prayer for the pastors, that God the Holy Spirit will open their eyes. But just please add, let the war hold until I get back to Texas. Because I'm afraid if something breaks out there, it will not necessarily affect where we are or anything, but it might affect traveling. And I know that when we were going to go, if you remember, when we were going to go to Afghanistan, that the 911 occurred. Actually, 1 week before we were going to go, I had the passport and everything to go. So it kind of shuts down, but we weren't able to because they closed down all the ports over there. So that'll be that. So please be in prayer. Okay, let's open your text, if you will, to Mark 16. Matthew, Mark 16. Any questions on the trip? This is your trip. Any questions? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is that God the Holy Spirit will make the things that we're going to look at powerfully effective in our souls. What I want to do this morning in preparation of going to Africa, I want to go over a few passages with you, not in any great detail, but in dealing with what we're doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we're not here just to abide time. There is a purpose, a reason for each of us being here, you having created our soul at this particular time in history, not 100 years ago or 100 years from now, but now, in dealing with each other, other members of the body of Christ. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see as we look at these passages. They will have an impact in our own soul and in our own life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like you to look with me at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And what we want to look at in Mark 16 is, we'll just start our reading at verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now let's start over. He said to them. Okay, to whom is he speaking? This is very important. This is very wonderful as to whom he is speaking. I want you to look at who Jesus Christ gives this exhortation to in context. In principle, it's to all of us. But look at verse 14. This is very powerful. In Mark 16, verse 14. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Judas is gone, so there are 11. Paul has not been assigned yet. As they were reclining at the table. Now, why do you think the Holy Spirit tells us this? Well, this was their position the last time, as far as just fellowship, they were with him in the upper room. This takes them to that, how they were when he talked with them in the upper room. Now, look what he said. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. They didn't believe he had risen from the dead. People, this is amazing. How many believers are ready to disqualify a believer in God's work of spreading the gospel because of some sin, usually some sin that offends them? Here, Jesus Christ is dealing with men who have a hardness of heart, do not even believe, and yet he is going to commission them to go out and spread the gospel. This is really powerful. He will commission them to take the gospel to the world. What we're seeing here, and I hope this teach you, what is your view of God? What is your view of Christ? Here you see his love and how quickly he restores and uses believers who will just as quickly recover by faith and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, ready to serve. So no matter how unqualified you may think you are, you just remember this verse. If you're saved and if you know how to walk in the Spirit by faith, it's that simple. Get back into the Spirit and get back to service, and don't let anyone else try to take it away from you. I want you to note the results, though, of unbelief. The results of unbelief, of not walking by faith. One, hardness of heart. See, a lot of people emphasize sin. You don't walk by faith, you're going to sin. Let me show you what's happening here. Hardness of heart about life, about things going on. And then secondly, you will not use faith in regard to the things that are happening in your life, your marriage, your divorce, your health, your finances, whatever it may be. If you're not walking by faith in the Spirit, you're not going to just trust Him in regard to things in your life, and you're going to become hardened about them. You're going to become hardened to God, and against people, against the whole deal, if you don't just start that one point of walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Now look what he says. And he, Christ, said to them, context, 11 disciples, in principle, all believers throughout the church age. Now, what did Jesus Christ say to them? People, he didn't chew them out, and that's the way we might think he would. He did not throw them out. He did not say, "I'm getting rid of you, I'm going to find me 11 more." He didn't do that. He didn't just divorce them, get rid of them. He sent them out on a mission. He said, all right, this is where you are. Get yourself straight in the spirit and get going. Look what he says. First of all, go. Aorist, participle. Peruomai. Peruomai means to go from one place to another. The concept of this word, if you did a study on it, the concept of the word is motion, movement, with purpose. To go from one place to another for a specific purpose. The emphasis is not on the place left, but on the place where you're going. Where are we going? We're going to Nigeria. We're going to Zambia to present the gospel to pastors primarily. I'll be teaching Jandan and I'll be teaching churches, but pastors primarily. Now Jesus Christ tells them where they are to go. Into all the world. Note the inclusive all. Now we're going to Africa. The pastors and people there. Next, Jesus Christ states the reason for going to all the world. And preach the gospel to all creation. What? Go. Where? Into all the world. Why? Preach the gospel. Who? All of us. Very simple. Preach. Then the verb go. The verb go was an aorist participle. You know that the action of the aorist participle always precedes the action of the main verb. So the action of our aorist participle is to go. Now, what's the main verb? Proclaim. Preach or proclaim. This is your main verb. This is what you want to do. But you got to get there to do it. So, this verb precedes the action of the main verb. So, they're to go and preach. And preaching here is the aorist imperative of kruso, which means to herald or to proclaim. What are they to proclaim? The gospel. And we have spent the last many months on studying, noting the gospel, the good news. It is imperative that if we're going to go, that we know the truth of the gospel. And you and I are well aware many pastors, churches, denominations, movements do not have the truth of the gospel. I'm not saying this in arrogance. Just this is the way the Spirit leads me. I've been asked to go to Stewart's place in Zambia and before, and I've always declined, graciously declined, because there was just going to be a lot of voices on spirituality and a lot of things that I knew I wasn't like-minded with. So I didn't make an issue. I just said, no, I've got things to do here. But Dan came to Dallas in February, and he knew I wouldn't go. So he came personally, sat in my kitchen, and he asked me, and I started to open my mouth. And he said, wait a minute. I know it's kind of funny. He said, you're going to be the only one speaking. He said, I'll speak only if your voice goes out. You'll have 25 to 30 hours with each group of pastors in a 4-day period, and nobody else there. It'll be what you... So I said, absolutely. I'm there. I'm gone. That's a great opportunity. And I'm going to make it very clear, people. I'll talk more about that in one of the next passages we're going to look at. But it's so important to us that we understand the truth of the gospel. The gospel for the unbeliever, how to be saved by faith in Christ. The gospel for the believer, how to be restored to the filling of the Spirit, by faith in the Spirit. How to live the Christian life, by faith in the Spirit, that He pours His fruit into us as Christ gave us salvation. These are crucial. These are not just nice doctrines we want to agree with, but we can disagree. And I didn't make issues when I was asked before. Don't misunderstand. I just politely said, no, I won't be able to now. I didn't even tell him why, but Dan knew why. So this is what we're going to be doing. So we're going to take the gospel, all of us, to believers and probably some unbelievers in the churches in these two countries. Now, the next passage is one that reflects to you my attitude, my thinking. Please look with me at Romans 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Thus for my part, or as much as is in me, is the concept. Paul is eager to go to Rome, or anywhere that God sends you, but Rome is the concept here, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And then, in verse 15, he says, I am eager. I am ready. This is an interesting Greek word that we have here. There are a lot of ways to be ready, people. You can be ready physically, health, packed. And Dan brought me this little bitty suitcase. I mean, this thing. And gave me, you know, so much stuff to put in there. I got to put a computer in there, 6 MP3 players, and then, on your clothes, and then what you're going to give to the people, and all this stuff. And Jim Langston gives me 2 big things of discs to give. There was no way. I tried. I did give it a try. So I went up in the attic, and I got me another one. And so I called Dan, and I said, I'm packed. I'm ready. Did you get it all in there? Got it all in there. And I said, of course, in there is a little bit different than the in there that you brought me. I went and got another suitcase. That's the same type of deal that he had, but just a little bigger. So there are different ways to be ready. Be ready physically. You can be ready in health and pack, tickets, all the provisions, ready financially. But this word emphasizes the real area, people. The Greek word is prothumos. Prothumos. Pro means before. Thumos deals with the mind. You put it together, and it means forward thinking. It means ready to go forward in your mind. This is the real place to be prepared to give the gospel. Ready, willing, eager. That's why they translate it, I am ready, or I am eager. The New American Standard, I am eager, I am ready in my soul. This is what I want. This is where I'm ready to do. And this is where I am. People have asked me, and once I got the kind of the feel of where the Holy Spirit wanted to take me, people, I am eager to go. This is a mindset, is what Paul is talking about in doing this. So I am ready. I am eager. And look what he says, to preach the gospel. The aorist infinitive here, aorist of purpose, euangelizo, means to bring good news, to proclaim good news to you that are in Rome also. Now, we're not going to Rome, we're going to Africa, Nigeria, Zambia, to proclaim the good news to unbelievers and to believers. People, we have a gospel. God has opened our eyes to how to be filled with the Spirit, how to be saved, how to be filled with the Spirit, how they're patterned after each other, and then how all of this is for one, the primary purpose, that we love one another as Christ loved, the new commandment. So we have a wonderful thing to let them know. So Mark 16:15 that we looked, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach, proclaim the gospel to all nation, all creation. Romans 1:15. Thus for my part, I am eager, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. Look at verse 16 while we're there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, unbeliever, believer, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now the word for Greek here is Gentile. See, we're prone to look at races, Africans, Americans, black, white. God looks at, if God looks at us in any way, it's either Jew or Gentile. There's no race in that whole concept. And then you're brought into one by faith in Jesus Christ. So while I'm gone, we're going to be in spiritual warfare. And Satan likes to cause all kinds of disruptions here, there, everywhere he can. So we need to garrison ourselves. Now note, The motivation. Oh, let's go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1, I picked this one out because this one's about you. The mark was about all of us. The Romans was my attitude. And now, Philippians chapter 1 is about you. how you are the ones going to Africa. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Philippians 1, 4. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And just stating the fact, as Paul says, I will be in prayer for you every day that I am gone. I pray for you every day anyway when I'm studying, but I will be in prayer for you. And as I travel, as Dan and I travel, be praying for your safety here while I'm gone, for your protection in the spiritual warfare, and for your spiritual maturity, coming in here with Philip, supporting him, and just staying together strongly as an assembly. And I will be in constant prayer for you, as Paul says here. But now note the motivation for the praying in verse 5. In view of the fact of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I like the Greek word here for participation. The Greek word for participation is a familiar word, koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship. It emphasizes fellowship in our participation, our fellowship in going. While I'm going physically, it is you who are going. You've helped me financially, supported it, and prayer protection, setting up the prayer barrage, getting the pastors ready, the planes, just our health, Dan and I's health, all of these people, it's all of us going. We're all spreading the gospel. So, in view of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, we are going to be in fellowship, and you will be in prayer each day, and just different areas. Each of you will have different ways of praying for the pastors, for the people, for Dan and I, for Dan and I's fellowship, working together as a team. The Matthias, Stuart, just and the various provisions, just everything that goes along the way. And so that will be our fellowship. This fellowship is continued in continuing, so let's look at it. Verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, in our understanding the rapture. Verse 7, for it is only right for me to feel this way, very personal here by Paul, it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because he's a Southerner, you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. So we're all in this effort of going together. The last one is a challenge for you, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We just read a verse where I will be in prayer for you. Here's the verse for you. And I'm asking that you be in prayer for Dan and I as we travel. Verse 19. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And pray on my behalf. And I'll say our, Dan and I. And pray on our behalf. Pray what? That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Don't you make any comments. Some of you, I know what you might be thinking. You don't need to pray for me to open my mouth. This is a little different than just opening your mouth. Okay. That utterance may be given to me. There's your key. What I'm going to be saying when I open my mouth. Utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. People, God has revealed so much to us over the years, and it is our privilege now to get to share this with these pastors, with these people. You and I both know, even in the evangelical camp, fundamental camp, we could line preachers up And they'll tell you different ways, maybe not on being saved, even though some of them might talk about inviting Jesus and making him Lord. But I think most would probably, we would be there. But when it comes to how you're filled with the Spirit, living the Christian life, what the objective and the whole thing is that we're doing here, and loving as Christ loved, we have a mystery of the gospel. God has given it to us. And he's revealed these things, and now it is our privilege to go and share it with these pastors. So please be in prayer for the opening of my mouth. Pray for my voice. It tends to shake sometime, but please be in prayer for that. But mostly for the wisdom of what Dan and I say, what comes out of our mouth, whether we're teaching them, fellowshipping with them, on the plane, wherever we are. My mind, whenever I travel, my mind is already set who's going to be sitting next to me. I've already prayed what Dan and I do tomorrow. Just the whole travel trip. It's not just, well, it's only going to start when we get to Nigeria. No, it starts the moment I get on that plane today, really. And whoever is around and might need the gospel that we have. So, in closing, verse 19, I am pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness, no hesitation, no being polite. I'm only going to have one time with these men, so I've got to say it straightforward to them, not sneak up on them, but lay it out clearly and boldly, the mystery of the gospel. Let's prepare ourselves now for the communion. I want to be a part of this communion before I leave, so let's do the communion. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, and then we will have communion together as we have communion with our Savior, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father in the partaking of this. You know the elements. The bread represents salvation won, or eternal life salvation. Jesus Christ came and took our place on the cross, the resurrection, and therefore we are joined with him forever. And I always like, as I leave, I always like the where it all came from. The whole idea of the breaking of bread came from a custom that's recorded in Jeremiah. And there where someone they loved died, their husband, their wife, their parents, or child, you would go over to their house, you know the story, and you would have a little bag. Remember, their house is empty according to the Jewish custom, because if there's a death, they've got to take all the leaven, all the stuff out of the house. And you come over, and you've got a little bag, and you take out of your bag some bread, one cake of bread, not two, one. And this is where the breaking comes from. You will break that bread, and you give them half the part that's broken, and you've got another part, and you are sharing with them their hurt. It isn't like giving them a bread and you one. You break it, and you're sharing with them. And so it is a bread. If you recall, we study these things, it's a bread of just comforting you and in your loss. And here Christ is doing this with the disciples, and he's the one that's getting ready to die. So this is really beautiful in regard to what is happening with the communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You've left us one traditional custom, one traditional ritual that just reminds us. Here, we do it once a month, as we enter into this month, to just reflect how we entered the plan, how we were saved, and just reflect on that every day of your grace, your love, your mercy, your compassion. We thank you for this, in Christ's name, amen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then when you're sitting with your friend, you've taken the bread of comfort, and then you'd reach into your little bag and you'd pull out a little jug of wine, and you'd pour them some wine, and you'd pour yourself some wine. And in the custom, this was the cup of encouragement. That's what it's called in Jeremiah. And you're encouraging them now to go on with your life. Your husband, your loved one, your wife, parent, whatever, is gone now, gone home with the Lord. Encourage you now to live your life. You're here. You have a mission. And so it was an encouragement. And Jesus Christ did the same thing. And the cup represents the new covenant. He's going to turn us over. He's leaving. He's departing. So he turns us over to another helper just like him, the Holy Spirit. So this is the new covenant of the Holy Spirit for the church, that you and I can live while he is absent from the earth. In the same way, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper. Now the Passover is over. The bread is for everyone, Jew and Gentile. Now we're dealing with the church. So it's after the Passover, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Oh, we haven't passed it. We got to pass it. It is I'm sorry. Let's everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served, and then we'll take it together. I was just looking for mine. Well, I don't have one. There it is. Will you please stand? In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. In closing, will you please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 281. Hymn number 281. We will sing it together. And then Jim Langston will come and close in a word of prayer.